Hey, Short Porch listeners, you can find us every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude.
Go buy it, go drink it, drink responsibly, and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb, drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Now batting for the Yankees, number 2, Derek Jeter, number 2.
Here, guys.
Roches hits one in the left. Back at the wall. The Yankees have tied it again.
Derek Jeter ends his final game with a walk-off single. Derek Jeter, where fantasy becomes reality. Did you have any doubt?
There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
It is Glaber Day, and he is the Glaber of the month.
Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome to an edition of the Short Porch presented by Barstool Sports. I am your host, Hubs, in studio late at night, Wednesday night. Mush just opened. Finally, he did it. Good job. Mush is in studio. Tommy's in studio. TJ's in 1 and 2s. Noah is just observing because he's waiting
legend.
To sleep.
Noah's the legend.
Legend. Italian Noah waiting to sleep at Marty's because basically, is he getting a rent check at this point?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, rent check. I mean, he slept there by himself last night. And
that's
then,
he dominated your room.
No, he slept on the balcony. He had a choice of 3 beds, and he slept outside.
So for anyone that doesn't know, Noah is an intern for the Short Porch. He's an intern for Marty's YouTube video editing wizard, and he's also now the biggest Italian Guido in the world.
Video's dropping soon. Subscribe to my YouTube and the Short Porch.
What's the YouTube called?
Marty Mush.
Okay. Just make that is literally just
no,
me
good
just
question.
Telling. Okay,
it's
good. Okay, all right.
I almost forgot what it was called.
The New York Yankees have taken the series against the wretched Baltimore Orioles. 2 of 3. Wasn't a sweep. We wanted a sweep. We begged for a sweep. Didn't get it. But the way they won the last 2 games,
it's
scoring
hard to be too
10
mad.
Plus runs on today is Wednesday. So it's toward Tuesday and Wednesday, 10 plus runs. Okay. You'll take it. We're going to break it all down for you. We were at the game together. All of us, the Short Porch included, first
Whose
time.
Whose idea was it? My idea. It was my idea.
Oh, everybody, let's just suck Marty's dick right on the
Marty
spot.
Marty asked me to buy the
idea.
Tickets, and I bought the
what
tickets.
What a revolutionary
way to go.
Idea to go to a Yankee game.
A fucking hero amongst all.
Thank you, guys.
Unbelievable.
Appreciate that.
We've got a lot to get into. And then you get a Dave Wells interview. David Wells, the guy, Boomer Wells, the guy I've wanted to interview forever, and a guy that I was low-key hoping followed me back on Twitter during the corona period where he was very active on Twitter. And then all of a sudden, we do an interview with him, and he follows both you assholes on Twitter.
Yeah, he did.
He is still yet to follow me back on Twitter, which is very sad.
Hard to get, playing hard to get.
Yeah, very hard to get, which is fine. I'm here for the game. I'm here for it. But it is an excellent interview. Stick around. But before that, we got some good Yankees baseball to talk about. Some shocking new names to talk about. Exciting new names. I think the first we have to talk about it here is, and Marty, you got to bear with me here. It's spelt Luis Gil, G-I-L,
yeah.
But it is not pronounced that way.
Nope.
And I know we don't. I know we do not appreciate pronunciations on this podcast. Who are our main ones? We have a few.
Isaac took a while to get that.
No, well, that's lasagna. There's another guy. Who's the other fucking?
What's his
name? There's another
fucking pitcher. What's his name? pitching the playoffs last year.
No, Andujar. It's Andujar, but we all say Andujar.
Davey.
But I need you, Marty, to come in here. I'm going to reel you in. It's not, just don't say Gil.
No.
It's Hill.
No chance.
With an H.
I think it's just, heel.
It's just stupid. Yeah, but like if you say heel, it's heel. If you say heel, it's like
I'm
going to
say it correctly.
Go with an H. Heel.
No chance.
Yeah, Eel.
Eel.
Luis
say,
Eel.
I will say Gil till I die. I mean, that's just stupid. Don't Gilbert. Just put it H or an E.
Luis Eel.
Oh, it's the is the Spanish language stupid?
No, yeah. I think that's just...
What's going on here?
Huh. When did a G in Spanish become an E?
I never took Spanish, but imagine.
Let him do what forever. He wants. If this man wants to throw six innings of shutout baseball in his major league debut, the first Yankee to do that since 1992, the first Yankee to go with six strikeouts, I think since like 1900. 1906 might be the exact number here. But Luis Gil, unbelievable. For the expectations, now obviously this comes on the heels of Cole and Montgomery both having COVID, really putting our starting rotation.
Did the vaccines Yankees get just not work?
J&J. I don't want to be political here, but that's not the exactly most effective vaccine. Not to upset any listeners that got that vaccine. I don't want to upset you, statistically speaking. But yeah, we're just bust off. I wish they got a better one. But listen, Luis Gil was born. He is now here. Six strikeouts. He's pitching on Sunday again. He was sent down immediately, but it was because he was a COVID replacement player, so he wasn't technically on the roster. He was just called up to pitch, and nothing happened. It wasn't even an option, I don't think, at that point. Sunday will be. He was awesome, and he's hyped up. I mean, he was, I believe, what, number six overall prospect in the updated rankings, top three pitcher in the system. I mean, he's the real deal, Holyfield, and it tells you what Devi Garcia – what like he's thought of at this point. Like, he's at a... Someone fuck with Devi's delivery. And don't blame us. And I've seen so many people... Don't make a shirt a Luis Gil. Don't call him the pitcher that was promised. Listen, that was...
We might just double down and call him the pitcher that was promised.
No, we're not going to do
make
that.
Make the same shirt with Luis Gil.
But, like,
Jason
Dominguez
is so fucked. We're going to fucking ruin
we're
that
gonna
guy.
We're
going to put on Dominguez's shirt, like, tomorrow.
We're going to ruin Jason Dominguez's career. That's no question. But poor Devi... His delivery was ruined in the minor leagues this year, and he's been giving him home runs left and right. Luis Gil throws 99, 100, 98, whatever. His changeup's 93 miles an hour. That's pretty sick.
Too fast.
It looks almost like a sinker ball, but it's his changeup. His problem, too, was control. He didn't walk a guy until the sixth inning. That's a good sign.
Not bad.
I believe, if I remember correctly off the top of my head, number seven in all of the minor leagues in walk percentage. Number one in all of AAA in walk percentage. Number seven in strikeout percentage.
Number one in terms of the worst.
Yeah.
Okay.
And bad. And so, like, not good. Walking one guy in your major debut in six innings is like, okay.
No, in an ideal world, he's like Debbie.
I know you guys were at the Italian. You were at Pirelli's. You didn't watch the whole game, whatever. I was there. But, like, I mean.
In an ideal world, he's Devi/Davey last year. Comes up.
In an ideal world, he's Luis Severino.
Yeah, that too. But whatever. Jeez, Severino 2015 or Garcia last year was good down the stretch. I mean, I know his numbers ended up high, but he had a lot of big starts. And he's not a guy that just came up for, like, a spot start, gets sent
he's
down.
He's not a nobody.
Right.
He's,
like,
a
he's
real,
somebody
he's a
that could
very,
help
very
the Yankee
highly
rotation
regarded
down the stretch.
Pitcher. Yeah.
But that's also, like, coming up to pitch in, like, moments notice too. Like, he didn't have any time to prepare.
And that might benefit him to, like, he'd have to think about it. He was just called up.
Yeah, and the Orioles help.
For sure.
Definitely. They did shell us.
That's
on
a
Tuesday.
Great team.
Andrew Haney. We're not going to talk much about Monday, but Andrew Haney is kind of what we expected, and he's bad.
You can't have a red
glove. Turns out Andrew Haney and his fly ball rate and, like, giving up home runs and all that, bad.
He looks like a guy that should be a good pitcher, and I don't mean his
Does he?
No,
he just kind of flings the ball up there.
No,
and like,
I don't even know if it's his motion. It's not
his motion.
Stuff.
His motion
just
is
the
like,
way he looks on the mound, the high socks, the hat. I think he just looks like Andrew Miller.
See, none of him looks good to me.
No,
none of him
looks like
he was like a 2.98 ERA,
and it just keeps going straight down the middle.
It's literally a fling.
It's never like, you know when people pitch from sides like a little funky? His is just like so straight.
He's willing the ball to the plate, and it's not good. And I was there on Monday. Those balls were not cheapies. They were blasted. those balls were destroyed into the Baltimore Orioles. And granted, their offense is better than their pitching, and that's why they're so bad. But, man, I didn't have much trust when they traded for him. I didn't have a good reaction when they traded for him. I knew who we were getting with Andrew Haney, and we have the same reaction. But let's stop talking about the negative here. This is a positive podcast. Took 2 or 3, 10 runs or more in the last two games of the series. I'm very excited about Luis Gil and him pitching on Sunday against the Mariners in what could be a pivotal game against the Mariners. Who knows how the next three games go against them on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday with the pitching rotation. Friday, I don't think they even know who's pitching at this point. It's up in the air, actually. It's fun to have one walk, 6 innings, 1 strikeout, no runs. He was excellent when they needed to be, especially coming off of Haney's start, on Monday, to pitch like that on Tuesday. You lose this. If you go down the first two of the Baltimore Orioles after the series they had against the Mariners, disaster. Mm-hmm. Luis Gil might have saved the season.
I'm okay
to not even exaggerate here. Imagine losing the first two here, and we go the game of the night with JMO.
13 runs helped, too.
13 runs definitely helped. It was two must-win games, which is sad to say, but we needed to
They did it.
Worst-case scenario, we needed to be 5-1 against the Marlins and the Orioles, and we did it.
Marlins and Orioles. Sorry. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, Mariners coming up here.
I'm fucking right, you guys look at me like I'm an
idiot. I thought you said Mariners, because Mariners and Marlins over the same level.
No, Marlins.
We're the Mariners next.
The same
I'm sorry. We're thinking quick here. But I'm excited about Luis Gil. I want to talk about it real quick, though. Now, you guys wrap up early. We're going
to
talk about that right after this.
We don't need to talk about that too much. We talked about now he's the star.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit. I genuinely don't know what even happened. Okay, I just know you guys left in jumpsuits. That's quite literally it. Tracksuits. Go buy the Italian Stallions. We said a shirt was coming. A shirt has arrived, and it is.
Beautiful. I think it's the best Yankee shirt we've ever made.
Has to be.
It's right up there. Triggs is quite literally, he makes Picasso look like a child the way he draws things. Go buy the shirt. Italian Stallions. We tweeted about it. We Instagrammed it a bunch. It's in the Barstool store. He's stored at barstoolsports.com. Go find it. It is electric.
They're 2-0 and scoring 23 runs since we released it.
Quite literally. Anthony Rizzo, two hits tonight. Home run. First home run in Yankee Stadium. Gallo's getting there. We're going to talk about him. Don't stop. First, I want to talk to you guys about Stephen Ridings, who I have something to say here. We had to deal with, we were up in Boston watching the Red Sox-Yankees game, and we got Brooks Christie coming in the game, and he throws 4 wild pitches. And we've had to deal with Nick Nelson. Shut the fuck up about Nick Nelson. Don't say another word about that man. I'm not going to say his word anymore the rest of this podcast. But, no, it's certainly not. He doesn't throw any strikes. We've had to watch those two assholes this year. And we have a 6'8 giant man in the minor leagues who has a very good stat line throughout. Limit batting average, low ERA, who throws 101 miles an hour with a wipeout slider, and we have the nerve to pitch Brooks Christie against the Boston Red Sox when we need a fucking save and all that, and Nick Nelson, and we're just letting Stephen Ridings rot in the minor leagues. What? I want to strangle the people who make decisions for this team. 6'8", 101. How are you possibly watching that and not being like, yeah, we should call that guy up? What's going on?
I honestly, if I was the GM, if I was whoever is in charge of that, I would bring up everybody so fast.
Yankees are obsessed with the 40-man roster. They're more obsessed with the 40-man roster than any team ever. But I... Sorry, but my sinus has been acting up. It's late. My cough is starting. Oh, no. I've been hearing this name.
Am I supposed to cough?
I've been hearing this name, Stephen Ridings, for a month or two now. I keep seeing the mind. Yeah, I've been seeing tweets about it.
I quite literally, hand up, and I have my ear to everything. I haven't heard his name once.
Oh, no. I feel like a month or so ago, I started seeing tweets like, Stephen Ridings, he's killing it in the minors. And I would see all his numbers, and I'd think to myself, there must be something wrong with him. There's no way could be down there with these numbers and he's not brought up.
I assume he threw 100 down the middle or over the guy's head every single time. He's actually unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it was awesome to see, but it's what were we waiting for?
You know what? I'm going to throw something
out
there.
I have no response to you.
No, because
this
none.
Is already going to be like we're overhyping this guy. What if we could get like a, yep, Jabba 07 run from Stephen Ridings?
No.
It's
no,
different
no,
because
no.
he's not a,
we
a, pro,
always,
a hyped
now,
prospect.
Now, people always give it on our Instagram. People love to hate us and all that. People we jump on early. But like, no joke. Okay, sure. He could regress to this point. But the fact that he's 6'8", throws 100, all them, and the, what he did in that those that first inning was striking out the side, and he started off 3-0, and he just came back to strike the guy out. He's pumped up. Automatically makes him better than anything I've seen Brooks Koepka or Nick Nelson do. Like, no matter what he does, if he gave 7 runs tomorrow, he's still better than whatever I've seen from Nick Nelson and Brooks Koepka. No question.
I think we need to put a rule in this podcast. I think we need to wait. No. 3 games.
You saying this?
I know. I think I'm doing it for the good of the podcast. Frick. I think we need to wait 3 games to say that they're God. And
what, I'm not saying he's God. I'm
oh,
saying.
No.
I just what I just said. He's better than Brooks Koepka. Which
I
means you're better than him.
That's one inning.
You're better than
and
him.
And I'm in. I'm
and all I
in.
Need is one inning from him.
I do too.
Brooks Koepka. No matter Brooks Koepka can throw 6 shutout innings the rest like for remainder of the season. Like Steve Ryan's still better than him.
All right.
Bruce Koepka is not a major league pitcher.
Just saying.
They're talking about him, how we gave a Whitlock to Boston, how this could be the redemption to Whitlock is Stephen Ridings. And I have actually buddies who played with Stephen Ridings a couple of years ago, like let's say 5 years ago. He was throwing 80 miles an hour. And they were like, what's going on? He throws 101 now? Did he have like this
is
crazy.
Is it a different Stephen Ridings?
No, they like know this guy.
There's no who's playing with. What's your friends playing with him?
Should I call them? No, I'm not going to call them.
I've got friends playing with him.
My buddies played with them. They played like.
Oh, Mari, some
baseball.
Of us do have friends.
Yeah, some of us do have friends. But like, Nikki, Richie, you know what I'm speaking to right now. But like, they said, they're like, we know literally who this person is. And he was not throwing 101 a couple of years ago. He's throwing 80 miles an hour.
Maybe
6'8 helps.
Wrong with him. There's got to be something wrong with him. He's doing 21 miles an hour in 5 years.
He's a giant.
Dude, he's a giant, man. He's literally a giant.
So he's
man.
Like Giannis? Like he grew 5 inches?
Yes. And now we just have him. He almost quit baseball.
You know what? Fuck my rule. I want to jerk him off.
Thank you. Thank you. He almost quit baseball. And not that this like adds to it, but he's going through last night. I'm pretty sure
his grandma.
This is Tuesday night. I think his grandma died in the morning or something like that, the night before.
The night before, yeah.
And he was dealing through a lot. He was very fired up. His family was there. Fucking. I know, Louis Hill threw 6 shutout, but, like, Stephen Ridings. I'm a Stephen Ridings guy. Sorry. I'm a Stephen Ridings guy.
You might have said his
wow, him and Louis Hill are like a
Stephen Ridings.
They're dynamite together. They combined to throw a no-hitter last week. Him, Hill, and Reggie McLean combined to throw a no-hitter last week.
Oh, Ridings was also in that game? Because I know, yeah. So Hill threw that, and then after that, he gave 6 runs and another start. So
did
he's
you
very
the,
hit or miss.
The clip at the end of that no-hitter?
No.
I think he's posted on TikTok. The pitcher didn't know that happened.
Oh, fuck!
I'm
was that
okay
Ridings?
With that.
No, that was what was that?
Reggie
like?
McLean.
I did see that. Where they literally finished off a no hitter. They were throwing water on him. He goes, "What's going on?" Yeah. And he goes, "Yeah,
I'm
you threw
okay
a no-hitter.
With that." Like when it's like
combined
like
no hitter is very fake.
I wouldn't even know.
Yeah, if the Yankees threw a combined no hitter, I wouldn't.
Dude, I was at the Mariners no hitter this year. I had no idea till the 7th inning.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Wait,
when you're at a game,
was that a
combined
no hitter?
Two teams I don't care about.
Was that a combined
no
hitter?
It was John.
No,
straight
up
Means. It was Orioles Mariners. I didn't give a fuck. I didn't care about
that. Just shows how little I paid attention.
Tonight I fucked.
Did because I bet on the
okay,
fucking
but
Mariners.
That goes away from if it's a combined no hitter. I'm totally with you. Like that.
No,
means
yeah,
nothing
combined. Yeah.
When I'm at a game, I'm strictly on no hitter watch.
Yeah.
When I'm at a game, I'm completely on no hitter.
I was at the game on Monday.
I was like, oh shit, Matt Harvey's going to.
Dude, even further away there. Yo, on Monday, the Orioles were no hitters through 6.
Something like that. Yeah,
6 innings, something like that?
Michael Kay was been doing his best to jinx it on air. He
dude,
was like,
the whole,
it's a no hitter.
Everyone
through
5. In my section was screaming, the X and O's has a no hitter or whatever, whoever was pitching. But I'm always a no hitter watch.
Always.
Always. But if it's a combined no hitter that like alleviates it, it's like not as crazy. I like that sounds like you don't block.
The
if
Astros
the
did that to the Yankees.
I know. Yeah, like it was like a 6 like person 0-3. No hitter. If the Yankees threw a combined no hitter, that's not something I block.
That's a lie.
Well, that's ridiculous.
A 6 person
you
like
blog
no
every
hitter?
Game.
No,
you
I
wouldn't
don't.
Blog
no,
a
I don't.
No
every
hitter
win
by the Yankees.
A combined one.
You absolutely blog. That.
Okay, that's probably, but not with like the not with that. The emphasis of like a single person no hitter.
Oh no,
Right, yeah.
And on Twitter, I'm definitely not as excited as a single person.
Yeah, no.
What if Steven Riding's through three innings?
I'll block anything that guy does. Moving forward. I didn't block his original one because I don't want to crowd the block. But that was a great win on Tuesday. Setting up for Wednesday, we all go to the game. Jameson Taillon pitching goes. His over-under was 5.5 strikeouts, and we all stared at it, and we were thinking about Barstool Sportsbook props and all that to add boost, and we were like, yo, we all looked at each other like, -160 to go over 5.5 Ks? Like, he's like 3, 4, 5, 4.
He hasn't gone over 5 in like a month.
Right, we're like, what's going on here? But it was a classic, like, Vegas knows more than us. He struck out 10 guys?
Yeah.
Jameson Taillon.
Like, kind of quietly, too. It wasn't like you wouldn't.
It was quick, though.
Well,
he did
it
five
early.
Very
quick. Like,
he did 5 through 2.
I think it was 7 through 4.
Yeah, and he ends up giving he gave up 2 in the first. One of them was earned. Gallo had an error out there. Hold everything on Gallo. We're going to get to it. But he ends up going 7 innings, 2 earned runs, 10 strikeouts. Beautiful. Did he have a walk?
One.
One walk? Great.
One we got.
So he continues to absolutely shove. Grant's the Orioles, whatever. Hold your, you know, dick sucking and all that. But that's a fantastic start all in all, especially when you really need to win this game. The offense really exploded real quickly, too, with the Giancarlo bloop double that cleared the bases somehow because Gallo runs really fast. But all in all, I begged when COVID struck Cole and Montgomery on we found that Monday night and Tuesday morning that this team needs to start just fucking scoring a million runs with Gallo and Stanton and Judge and Rizzo and all that. And they've responded with 23 runs since that moment. Fantastic.
It's still crazy we have two really good bats not in the lineup yet. Like our Shell
Gio and Voit. Yeah.
That's insane.
And we might have now.
And Greg Allen sent to the minors because Brett Gardner has killed another fucking career. It's it's inexcusable that Esteban Florial and Greg Allen are rotting away in the minor leagues while Brett Gardner sucks it up in the
majors. Greg Allen
did fucking
nothing wrong.
He played on Tuesday.
He's a good version of Brett Gardner.
Yes.
He's a non-old, washed-up, good version of Brett Gardner.
It's not like Gardner has
this
cannon arm in the
Brett end. There's no analytics that say Gardner's good. There's nothing that says Gardner should be playing.
If Greg Allen was exclusively up to be a pinch runner, Jonathan Davis is faster.
He should be up to be the number three hitter.
Greg Allen's a better hitter.
Yeah, he should be in the outfield.
And
but
he's
the way
a better hitter and runner
him,
than Gardner.
But the way that they've like tended to use him is Gardner starts, and then they bring Allen in.
I mean, it's just crazy because Greg Allen's better, and Florial is also better.
Mm-hmm. But Jonathan Davis is like one of the fastest guys in all of baseball.
Okay,
he ripped
a hit
tonight,
but my
too.
Point about Greg Allen, hits.
He should be. No, I'm agreeing with you. But the way that they're using
and
him.
And he's a good fielder.
Right, but they're not using
Jonathan Davis really field anything in center field, like ever. I have no idea.
You've just never seen him.
Right. So I'm saying, I can't tell you he's better than Gardner at
he's
all.
Fast. He's just really, really
but Greg
fast.
Allen is a fantastic fielder. A fantastic, not fantastic.
94th percentile in speed. Sprint speed.
Allen?
No. Davis.
Davis.
Allen's 72.
So that's all analytic. Jake Marsh shit.
Yeah. Fuck analytics. Right, Tommy?
Yeah. Fuck analytics. A nice bloop single from Giancarlo tonight to clear the bases in the seventh. The fucking nerds will tell you, oh, analytics, you'd rather have a line drive to the shortstop at 110 miles
Giancarlo
per hour.
Giancarlo might be like, let me just fucking
good piece of hitting.
Shit.
Yeah. Fuck the dorks.
Greg Allen's down. I hope it's not for long because this is bullshit. Brett Gardner really should just retire.
He's ruining careers.
It's always bad news. Yesterday was Luis Gil getting sent down, but it was like a fake sent down.
That's a fake sent down.
I mean, Greg Allen.
Yeah, I know, but it was like a, he pitched great. Oh, he sent down. But
Greg Allen getting sent
down.
It's sad. It's not ruining
bad
the
news.
Night.
I don't want Brett Gardner playing.
I understand, but Greg Allen's not like, oh, fuck, man. It's like
it is. I don't want Brett. That means more Brett Gardner to me.
Nah. We'll fizzle him out. We'll fizzle him. No.
Brett Gardner's going to be bad. Like, if the Yankees make the playoffs, Brett Gardner's going to have one random game where he hits third again. The Yankees love doing that in the playoffs. They love hitting Brett Gardner third.
No more Joey Gallo
and
Urshela. That can't happen if they're all healthy.
Once they're back, he cannot be in the lineup. It's just impossible.
I agree. Who?
It's impossible.
Who?
Once Urshela and
who
Boyd
can't
are back.
Be back in the lineup?
Gardner.
How?
Gallo, Stanton, the Judge.
Stanton
Boyd at first.
Voight's DH.
They're gonna fuck Luke Voight so badly.
That'd be crazy. Like,
so I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now. Luke Voight's fully healthy right now. He doesn't need to do this rehab stint he's doing right now. It's all bullshit to stall time. And Luke Voight could have been playing on the team 5 days ago. I'm telling you, that's a bona fide fact. If you dispute it, you're just wrong. Luke Voit's fully healthy, and they don't know where to play him right now. And they're fucking him.
I mean, it's pretty simple where to put him.
Yeah.
But like, very simple.
But also, they don't want to do it right now.
That's stupid. Piece of shit. And I know he's a nice guy, and he's won a World Series. He's got his pinstripes. But your time has come.
Who?
Brett.
Jake Marshall loves him. He's telling me today. More to hate that guy when he announces Soul Stream. I love Jake Marsh. But like,
I was going
to
say, it doesn't sound like you love Jake
No,
Marsh.
But like, how about the crazy move by Noah here, just throwing his phone on the ground? That's a
He's got pockets.
Noah, insane move right
Texas.
There.
I don't remember exactly, but weren't we making fun of Hubs when after he well, we were definitely making fun of him at one point. But
we were leaving Billy's, and you're like, oh, let's bring some of the pod. You do something weird.
I don't know if it was. Wasn't it something?
You
like,
don't remember this now?
Oh,
what is it? What
I
do
know.
I do that makes
when
you fucking
when he gets
squirm.
Noticed? When he gets noticed, he raises his shoulders up to his
friend. Yeah, and said, you just fucking
and I love you guys.
Wait, I do what? What do I do?
You like that you get
you like walk away and then you like put your shoulders up. Marty said it, and at first I was like, "What?" And then I visioned it. I was like, "Yep." I was like, "You're absolutely right."
Can you show it?
It's no. Hard because it's you, but it's like when you everyone's like Hubs. You go, you know,
I literally what I'll
and then like
you'll
look.
I'll just do that. I'll like, raise my
and then like look
this,
back
like,
to us.
Like Hubs.
Definitely won't look back to you.
And then he says he loves them.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
I said
care.
It's a one person today because they're three people all wearing our shirts.
I don't
like,
think
yeah,
it's
I
bad.
You.
I don't think it's bad.
Marty
I
doesn't
just
love
can't
anybody.
Get
you're just trying
the
to
word
nitpick.
Love
you're
just
trying
I would say
nitpick.
Love you to you.
Douchebag.
I'd say
you're
love you to
nitpick.
Both of you.
It's fine. It's on. I love everyone.
Did you hear Marty on Pick Central today? That douchebag.
What's that about?
The dude.
Just joking about.
No.
I called him a fat fuck.
You know what? When people say hi to me, I'm not gonna discontinue what I do. I'm just gonna keep doing what I do and say hi to them. And all
I hope you do. I'm just saying.
In my mind, what I do if someone calls my name from behind, I look up and just do this. I just raise my hand.
It's not mid.
And then this.
You don't do don't it. You don't do it while you say hi to them. It's immediately after the interaction.
You think
it's
I do like a Jordan shrug?
No. I'm not. It's hard to. It's like a,
it's literally.
I
it's like,
can't
like,
even
well,
imagine.
Right, so
it
someone
there.
Say hi.
Must be an involuntary action.
I know it is.
All right, so yeah, I just have like a, I have a stroke when someone.
I just
driving.
Pulled a muscle doing that.
Like, that's perfect. And that's wait, hold on. Can we relax right now? Tommy just pulled a muscle trying to reenact the motion that I do when someone's as hot as
he's hurt. He's down bad.
Holy shit, you are pathetic.
I told you from one of the first podcasts that we did. I like watching you live. The way you live is wrong.
Correct. Very correct.
Next time you see Hubs at a ball game, just don't take a picture. Just record him on video. And see
yeah, I love
pictures. Someone's gonna do this. And I'm like,
yeah, if someone just falling yeah, up.
Hey, Hubs.
It's not a Jordan shrug. It's not a cocky
hand,
shrug.
No, the way you're describing it is like
I'm
that,
telling
though.
You
it's
right now.
Only
it's
shoulder.
Cocky.
It's shoulder
yeah, hands
blades.
Don't
it's
go
like
up.
A stroke.
It's like, Hubs.
So spot on.
It's just funny.
I don't even have a response.
I mean, it's good.
What happened at happened in Broly's?
Should we talk about Joey Gallo too?
Oh, Joey Gallo.
Yeah, so
Joey Gallo.
You guys both hate
Look,
Joey Gallo.
Look, I want to love Joey Gallo.
I'm
going to
tell
Italian.
You
to
go fuck yourself.
He's exactly what I thought he was going
to be. No, go
He doesn't hit for average. He will hit home runs. He hasn't
yet. He's nervous.
But he shouldn't be because we're scoring 10 runs a game. Where
I will say,
Joey
Gallo should be thanking Anthony Rizzo for the start that the Yankees had. That's no question about it. He's had a slow start as a Yankee. That's fine. I'm not worried about it. But the start that Anthony Rizzo has as a Yankee at the same time, what
it's
they, 5-1 since Rizzo's been here.
Yeah. Oh, Rizzo's like it's so, actually. I don't think I've ever seen someone get traded and have that much of an impact.
He's like Manny on the Dodgers. Remember
six
Manny at
yes.
four on
the RBI yes. as a Yankee to start his career with the Yankees. That's never happened before. That's
for sure.
Fucking crazy.
But
Gallo should be thankful.
He's
Rizzo
getting
taking
hit
the pressure off him. No doubt. I'm with you there. But don't get on Joey Gallo.
I think
I'm not getting on him.
You are.
No, but
I don't hate Joey Gallo. I'm just saying
he's what I thought.
He's
proving you right.
He has two
of what you said.
He's played six games.
Oh,
I think those are
like,
his only two hits.
Prove what you are. Like he's a
He doesn't. He doesn't get a lot of hits.
Hit a home run, so actually, maybe
he doesn't get a lot of hits, and he gets out a lot, and he strikes out a lot,
and walks a ton, and he bats the ball. Good,
but he also bats in between two guys who really strike out a lot. So that's another problem.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about Joey Gallo.
I would put him down the lineup.
That's the thing. I'm not worried about him. He just is.
I would like. I think he'd be better lower than
lineup. Switch to Odor,
lefty.
No.
I don't think Odor.
Oh, put Rizzo there.
Odor's got a higher average. I know.
Yeah.
OBP's crazy difference.
You could do, yeah, Rizzo in between.
DJ three hits tonight.
I'm going to say something. DJ and Mayhew is going to get hot.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well,
I think
he's coming back. He was on the precipice of like if you see when the Yankee lineup comes out every day, look at the replies. It's all, why is DJ leading off?
DJ,
like, that's how bad we've gotten this year with DJ.
That, yeah, count the guy.
But
and said he was ninth.
Three hits tonight was nice. Yeah. Granted, and a few hits the night before, I believe. one was the one just fell in. What?
This is a funny tweet. Giant Lasagna he tweeted in Spanish, but it was on the way to 10K followers. Fire emoji. Thanks for following me. It's a funny tweet. Yeah. How is he going to have 10K followers? Yeah. Noah's about to pass him.
Spanish, that doesn't help.
Throw Johnny Lasagna.
You could translate it.
I tweeted at him and I said, I love you. And he liked it. That was cool.
You liked it?
Hell yeah.
He liked it.
Nice.
Yeah, it was cool. But I went out of the way to tweet it in Spanish to him.
That's impressive. Mi amor?
What?
Was it?
Te llamo?
Te llamo.
Damn.
Marty would never say I love you to anybody.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I tweeted. Yeah.
Nice.
I would say I love you.
By the way,
I tweeted out I love Rizzo today. So.
Tanaka got shelled by America.
Yeah.
Did not go well for America. Did he escape the third inning? I don't think he went three innings. But yeah, we lost the game. But now we're in the semifinals.
Yeah, we're playing for a medal no matter what.
I don't know if that's correct.
If we win on Thursday, we play for gold. If we lose, we play for bronze.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. It's like we don't win automatically a medal.
We are playing for a medal no matter what.
At some point, we will be. Yeah. I'm saying, but if we lose, we can still at some point not get a medal.
There's a 75% chance we get a medal.
Okay. Analytics. DJ only has 5 hits his last 2 games. That's exciting.
And his hits today were like DJ-esque, too. Like, there wasn't like, it was like a tough pitch to hit. And
the
just
one on
lifted
Tuesday
it.
Was, one of them fell literally in between because Mullins and him had miscommunication in the outfield.
Yeah, but today, I'm saying.
No, yeah, today was good. Today was a good day. What's the average up to? We are at 268, 345 OBP. Okay. It's nice when the good guys get hits. 23 runs in 2 games is exciting. 2 of 3 wins is exciting. They're up to 58-49. And this is an important win, too, because fucking the Padres blew a bullshit game to the A's today where it was a 3-1 lead in the ninth. Mark Melanson, asshole, couldn't save that. We would have been right there with the wild card. The Rays won today. The Red Sox won today. But when you're down 2-3-0 immediately, that's a good day to just hold strong with everyone. You're down 3-0.
Old Yankees die. They lose that game 3-1.
And we won 10-3 today.
Yeah.
That was exciting.
Did you do an ad yet?
What?
Did you do any ads?
We got them coming.
We did them? Oh.
No, we got them coming. We got them coming for Dave Wells. We're about to go into.
What? Let's hit these ads.
Oh, you want to get out of here? It's 11:34. I was going to think if we had anything else. Steam Ronnie's Rizzo, JMO. Yeah, I guess
that,
we did.
The judge throw was cool.
Judge throw was really cool.
Maybe the best throw ever.
And it kind of made up for, I thought he was going to get Mullins in the first inning.
Right, at home.
On double play.
It was fast.
But it was just, it's Mullins really fast.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. But he ended up getting him later in the game. That's exciting. Mariners, 4-game set here coming up here. Very important, especially because they're on our tails. Yeah.
Nestor,
and then they don't know who's pitching on Friday.
And then Haney, and then...
Haney can't pitch Friday, just pitch Monday.
No, Haney's pitching on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, so
we don't know
question Friday.
They don't know. Yep. It could be Devy?
Gil is
pitching Sunday.
Hill's pitching Sunday.
Heel.
Saturday is
bullpen
Haney.
Game.
No, Saturday's Haney.
Friday's... Yeah,
Friday's who the fuck knows.
Bullpen game, I guess. But
bullpen game slash, oh, God.
They're going to make Nestor throw 150 pitches tomorrow.
Nick Nelson. We're going to see Nick Nelson this weekend. We're seeing Nick Nelson this weekend.
Hell yeah. Redemption.
The Phoenix is back.
Tonight, redemption is spelled N-I-C-K-N-E-L-S-O-N.
All right. We got Dave Wells coming up here. It's an exciting interview. It is a interview I've... wanted for a while. Very exciting. And he delivered. Dave Wells is hilarious. We could talk to the guy for hours, and we probably will talk to him again the way he left off the interview. But some Steinbrenner stories here, David Cohn, 98 stuff, everything you want. Go into your Friday, your Thursday, listening to this off of 2 of 3 with the Orioles, with David Wells. Before we get into Dave Wells, though, I want to talk to you about our friends at Paint Your Life. And Marty and Tommy, we'll talk about, like, just, it's a great gift to get your, whether it's your, you know, family or your friend or something, a portrait. It's just like a very out of the box gift.
Yeah. And something like, think of something that they would want a portrait of.
Yeah, like you were always like Father's Day, birthdays, all that. We're always like, what do you get?
Get this it now person? For the holidays, even.
Get it, like, ahead of time.
Store it.
Get your pal a portrait. Get a professional hand painted portrait created from any photo at a truly affordable price. Choose from a team of world-class artists and work with them until every detail is perfect. It's user-friendly platform that lets you order a custom-made hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes. 5 minutes. That's 300 seconds, Marty. Quick and easy process gets you a hand-painted portrait in about 3 weeks. Send any picture of yourself, your children, your family, a special place, or a cherished pet, whatever it is. Combine photos in the one painting, even, and it makes the perfect birthday gift, anniversary, or wedding gift, whatever it is. Very sneaky, awesome wedding gift. Wedding season coming up here. We're in wedding season, actually.
Fall's wedding season, too, yeah.
Yeah, fall's wedding season as well.
Get a portrait of the Italian Stallions.
Get a portrait of the Italian Stallions. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited-time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word PORCH, P-O-R-C-H, to 64,000. That's PORCH to 64,000. That's text PORCH to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. And without further ado, here is Boomer Wells, number 33, Dave Wells.
All right, welcome in a Yankee all-time great, two-time world champion in his career, one of 23 pitchers to ever throw a perfect game, none other than David Boomer Wells. Welcome to the Short Porch, Dave Wells. What's going on, man?
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
Absolutely. First off here, I want to touch on something really not baseball related, but something that just caught my eye on Twitter last year that was so cool, like what you're doing when you were auctioning off your memorabilia in your unbelievable museum that might rival Cooperstown itself. And you were, helping out the first responders, which was so cool in such a time of need and all that. Talk about what went into that, what started that. And it was just really, really cool. And it blew me away.
Well, you know, I just, you know, during COVID, you're bored out of your mind. You don't know what to do. You're looking for something to do, obviously. And, you know, and I had such a big baseball collection, just memorabilia collection. My wife and I just said, you know what, let's just inventory everything that I have. And it literally took like 2-3 months to do with every detailed stuff that I have. I mean, I've got dozens and, I mean, thousands and thousands of baseballs that I've collected, like from all-star teams. I was on 3 all-star teams. So I got like maybe a dozen or two still in the box signed by the whole team of the all-star team, you know, inventorying those from all the teams that I played for over the years. I just collected. I got so much crap. It's ridiculous. And so just going through some of the old stuff of my old jerseys and whatnot. And then, you know, obviously with COVID, I'm just like, I was talking to a buddy of mine from Detroit, and he's like, he just was goofing around. He goes, I'll buy a cup from you. You know? And I'm just like, I said, you're crazy. And then I'm like, you know what, maybe I ought to auction these off. Let's try it. So I wrote on the cup, and they were, you know, those were used cups, but from years ago. So
right.
Obviously the stench has gone away. So, but I wrote on, I said, may this new COVID-19 mask keep you safe. And then I wrote that. And I just said, you know what, with first responders, because I love helping out charities.
Yeah,
I have my own foundation, the Perfect 33 Foundation. And, you know, just with these first responders on the line in New York, and I had some friends there too as well, doing some just huge, huge donations to feed these frontline workers. So my buddy Justin there, so I said, you know what, let me help him and see what I can do. And I put this thing out there, and I think it went for like 20-something hundred bucks. I ended up selling like four or five of those. So I raised, you know, almost 10 grand that way. Then I started doing baseballs. Then I started doing everything else from magazines that I had that, you know, the teams have sent from every team, Chicago, Toronto, you name it. And it just, I didn't expect it to do as well as it did. And every penny of that went to our first responders and charity events. So it was great.
So cool. What was the total number you got up to?
What, money wise?
Yeah, like that you raised. Yeah.
Oh, I'm probably thinking $30,000-$40,000.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, you would never think that something like that would sell. But people have, you know, the people out there, I went on Twitter with all those, you know, crazy degenerates like myself, and then some really idiots out there, but you know, the haters, and then you got the respectful people. But to me, it was, you know, if it wasn't for them, you know, I thank all them for buying these things, because they know where the money's going for.
Yeah.
They know the good cause for it. And to me, that's just was great. And I was going to do a website. My wife, we're still trying to figure it out. Now that we moved to Florida, all my stuff is in storage. So I don't have that room, that awesome room to go through. So eventually I'm going to do it, and just stuff that I have, and then just sell stuff on, you know, on a website. Because I don't sign baseball cards. I only sign the Toronto Blue Jay card is the only card I'll sign. Really? The other ones I won't sign. Yeah.
What's the reasoning behind that?
You know, I just want my kids to have something nobody else has. You know, I've been offered thousands and thousands of dollars for cards for people to complete their sets. And, you know, and to me, there's probably a couple cards out there that I did sign years ago as a favor, you know, to somebody. And, you know, to me, that's just something that, you know, that's my personal preference, but I don't want, you know, it saturated out there. You know, I have a lot of stuff. My kids someday when I'm gone, if they want to do it, people want to enhance their collection with the signed card. Because if anybody has it out there, it's fake. I guarantee it. But I know which ones that are out there. So to me, at least I know if people have it, you know, it's probably not real.
There's obviously a lot of autograph hounds out there. Do you have one story that sticks out of like one instance where somebody was just like the worst asking for your autograph, or caught you at the most inopportune time, and you were like, come on, man, what are you doing?
You know, I remember David Cohn and I and Don Larson in Long Island, we were doing a signing out there. And, you know, when you drive in, people out there, they want all that stuff for free. They want to get it. They don't want to go in. They don't want to pay to get signed. They're always trying to get it for free. And, you know, we're retired. We're trying to make money. We're trying to help our kids, our family out as well. So this is our way of making, you know, money for us as well. You know, people think some guys have made tons and tons of money during their career, but they always throw that in your face. Oh, you're rich. You can do it. You can give me a free autograph. Well, I'm not here for that reason. I'm here. We're selling autographs. And this dude kept following me on the way in, during the show, and then after the show, just following me. And then I finally just had enough of it. I just got knee deep in this guy's ass. And, you know, I'm just telling what a joke he is. I mean, just what part of no don't you understand? Get in line like the rest of these people. You know, if I'm getting autographs, I've waited in line to get autographs. So, you know, I'm a collector. I'm a fan. So for me to do the same thing, just some joker doing that, it's just like, you know, and I don't know the guy's name. If I ever saw him again, I know who he was. I'd probably rattle his cage verbally, you know, just to do something like that. But people are just, you know, they're just, unless you get caught in the right place at the right time, then you do it. It's fine. If I'm eating with my family or friends, don't bother me with that. I won't do it. I'll be nice and say, hey, when I'm done. But a lot of people will go, hey, well, I'm leaving. I'll say, well, goodbye. Have a nice night. You know, or a nice day, whatever it is. But, you know, some people are just get so obsessed with it. It's pretty bad. And people send stuff to my home all the time, and I send it right back, or I just throw it away because I tell them, don't send it to my house. It's private. You know, this is my private residency. I don't know how you must have went online to find out where I lived, yep, and then start sending stuff. And I won't do it that way. I'll just throw it away. You won't. If you send it to me, you will not receive it back.
That's funny. Got to talk about the perfect game, obviously. But more importantly, I want to know what an SNL party is like, because you were at the SNL party famously the night, the morning of, I suppose. What is an SNL party like, especially with like Jimmy Fallon and all that?
You know, it just depends on the party, which one it may be, and who's hosting, whatever. But I usually after the show, I usually go, I sit with Lauren Michaels at his table, and obviously he's getting all the, you know, the host and A-listers coming by that come to the parties afterwards. So it's great. Lauren, you know, I love him to death. He's been like a dad to me for a long, long time. But on top of that, just a great friend. And, you know, despite a lot of these guys on the show, a lot of them are liberals. You know, I didn't really care about politics anymore until COVID hit. And then you've seen the dividing people, you know, for the left and right. And it's crazy. A lot of these guys are left. But I put it aside because I have a lot of friends that are on the left and they're extreme, but I just stay out of it and do that. But when you get with these guys at the party, I mean, they like to have fun. They're good. And, you know, it just depends on, you know, how the night's going. And when you start drinking, then it gets pretty out of control, but it's, you know, it's the alcohol talking. It's not us. It's the alcohol talking, but while you're doing it, it's fun. But the next day you hate life sometimes. And unfortunately I had to work the next day and these guys got to wake up, you know, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to turn on the TV. And, you know, there I am doing what I did and how I did it. I do not understand and know why. Just every blind squirrel finds a nut. So, you know, that was great, but I love those parties. I miss the parties, but to me, it's you know, Jimmy Fallon is just a great guy. He's funny. He's, you know, but like I said, everybody has their, a lot of people don't like him now because of the politics of the left and right. And it's so crazy right now with what's going on. I can give a shit what you are. If you're a liberal of that, but just don't rub it in my face. I have my beliefs. So respect me for my beliefs. You know, I respect you for years, for sure, but don't rub it in my face, you know?
Yeah. So go, Mush.
I agree with what you're saying, because I've been telling people for years, because I played baseball in college, whenever I was hungover, I would hit the shit out of the ball, because I think I would just focus more on baseball, because, like, all right, don't throw up, don't look like you're sick, just, like, focus on baseball.
No, you're right. And I think it takes the edge off a little bit, because your nerves, like, I always got butterflies when I pitch, you know, it's just leading up to that moment. You're ready to go. You're out there to become a warrior. You're just, you know, you're trying to keep your team in the ball game. So you do get butterflies because you don't want to fail. And you're always talking, like you said, you know, I don't want to throw up if you're hungover like that, but it just kind of takes edge off a little bit. And then, as long as you're throwing strikes and you're doing what you're doing, you saw the ball good when you're hitting. Yeah. I threw the ball great. I had good control. So, you know, I wouldn't go out and do it every time. I did it a lot, but not every time. And, you know, it just seemed to work. It's, you know, it's whatever your, you know, whatever your poison is and it works for you, stick with it.
Yeah. So before the game starts, you're throwing out in the bullpen. How are you? Are you like, fuck, like, this is going to be a bad day? Or, like, what was the thought process going in the bullpen? Like, how did you feel?
Your expressions, what you did, was exactly what I was doing. God damn, this is going to suck. Because I could not throw a pit. My curveballs were 49 feet. My fastballs were all over the place. I was having such a bad, bad warm-up. It was like, and I ended up throwing two balls out of the stadium. And Mel Stottlemyre is like, Boomer, you're doing great, man. You're doing good. I turn around, look, I said, don't patronize me, man. I'm like, I'm throwing like crap. This ain't working. And I'm not helping my case because I'm still buzzed up a little bit. So it's like, you know, what do? You just shut up and just figure it out. And after that bullpen display, I mean, I cut it off short. I said, if this is as good as it's going to get, I don't need to throw anymore. So I just said, I'm good, Mel. I packed up and walked into the dugout. Went up to the locker and up into the clubhouse, got some water, walked back down, and then that shit happened. I mean, how the hell that happened, I do not know. But, you know, I'm glad it did. It's all right.
I feel like you – oh, sorry. Go Tom.
I'll say we all know what you did the night before, partying with SNL. But what did you do the night – like, you throw the perfect game. How did you party that night? Did you just keep the party going?
Oh, dude, it was off the chart, man. We right after the game, you know, all the clubhouse stuff going on. But then when I went out to the to get into my car in the parking lot, I drove out, and then across the street from the old stadium, that bat, there's a parking lot there, and there was a hut there, and that's where I think the hut's still there. I'm not sure, but all the cops, that's where they kept all their beer and everything like that. So they just kind of they escorted me into there. They kind of stayed right in the road there, and like, no, you're coming in here. So I went in there, and then a couple teammates came in, and before you know it, we're in this parking lot. We shut the gate, and we're just getting after it. And it was pretty. I still have the picture of all the cops that were there. There was probably, you know, 30 of us just drinking and having a good time. I'm like, well, you know what, everyone, we're going to Dorian's after this, so why don't you just meet us up at Dorian's on 84th and 2nd? We'll continue this party, which we did, and the night just got crazier. And then we just started going, you know, back and forth. And I think we ended up going down to the Meatpacking District for a bit. And then we end up going from there back to Dorian's until about 4 a.m. And then we had to do Mel Stottlemyre's, we had to do his charity golf outing the next day. So I got probably another, 3 hours of sleep. And then
probably shot a hole in one, knowing how good you are hungover.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You know, the funny thing was when we were driving out, and I didn't, you know the traffic outside the city. I think we had to go into Connecticut, and we're running a little bit late. And I'm like, and traffic was dead still. I'm like, and we're going to be late. And I go, well, if any day I'm not going to get arrested, it's going to be today. So I made my own lane. I went up on the median, and I just drove for about 15 miles. And all of a sudden I look in my rearview mirror, and there's cars following me. I mean, it was great. We get there a couple minutes late. I meet my team on the second shot. I think we're like 200 something out. I hit a 5-wood to about, I don't know, to about maybe a foot from the hole, tap in eagle. I'm like, hey, we got the stink is still on me. We're good to go. But yeah, it was great. And then finally I got some sleep the next day, and then started doing, like, I did Regis, I did David Letterman, I did all the Conan, I did all the shows, which was awesome. It was great.
So you guys had a full off day the next day.
Well, some of us did. Got sleep. Some of us didn't get any sleep. So the Monday was an off day. So okay. But Mel had his charity event out there, so we all committed to it, so we had to show up. It wouldn't have been good if we didn't show up. So,
yeah,
you know, at least we did. Better late than never, but we ended up having a great day, getting drunk out on the course. And, you know, like I said, if there was any day I'm not getting arrested, it was that day, because I could have, as long as I didn't kill anybody or do anything stupid, I think I would have been all right.
All I'm picturing in my head is you guys, if you guys had a game the next day, whoever was pitching that day got pissed drunk trying to emulate you. And then just gave up 10 runs in the first inning.
Probably. Trust me, it's happened before. But yeah, you know, when you think like that, I mean, if it works for you, because we never, you know, it all started with Coney, that son of a bitch. You know, we're out in Oakland, and he's just coming off the aneurysm. Okay. So he's coming off the aneurysm, and he's got a pitch. But the night before, we're in Oakland, and I think we're staying right downtown Oakland. They said, do not go out after the sun goes down. It's a bad neighborhood. Stay out of there. So Coney and I went to the bar, and before you know it, man, we're getting after it. And then we got the bar closed down, and then we got some extras. We went into the back room there and started drinking. You know, a lot of people showed up, and then Coney goes out and gets pulled with a no hitter. Through 7 innings the next day. I'm hungover as hell. I'm on the bench. I'm dying. I don't even want to be at the ballpark. I got to pitch the next day. So I'm on the bus, and Coney gets on the bus. He goes, Boomer, let's go. I said, go where? And he goes, we're going to San Francisco. We're going. I said, nah, bro. I said, no, I'm too hungover. He goes, remember last night? And I go, yep, you're right. Let's go. So I get up, and we just go out, and we get shit-faced in San Francisco, and I go out the next day, and I think I threw a shutout. And so we just started going out the night before we pitched. And before you know it, Coney goes to Joe and says, you got to break us up, bro, because we're going back to back. So we're not getting any sleep. And then, so after the All-Star break, they split us up, but we still did our thing. And we ended up winning the World Series. So, you know, shit worked.
That's how good the team was that you could go to your manager and be like, hey, both of us get so drunk the night before our games that we can no longer pitch back to back. And he was just like, that's fine. We'll make it happen.
No, not at all. On the contrary, Joe hated it. I mean, he didn't like me to begin with.
Oh.
But to me, it was just Coney's like, you got to break us up a little bit. And, yeah. You know, and they were just, Joe always tried to manage me, I think, in that aspect. But, you know, it was obviously for the right reason. You know, I'm not going to say we're grown men. We can do what we want to do. As long as we get our job done, who gives a shit what you do? Yeah. And, but it just seemed like he always had a harder time with me than most of the other guys on the team. But I was just free-willed, man. I just, you know, I beat to my own drum and it worked. But Coney went to Joe and says, hey, Joe, just, you know, I got Boomer. Let me take care of him. We'll be fine. And he did. And you know, the results were always great.
That 98 rotation was so good. And you guys just dominated. Was there like a constant competitiveness against each other, like to one-up each other, kind of like with every time you went out there?
100%. And that was a game within a game. Yeah. So we, what we would do is we competed against one another, but we made everybody better. You know, that's what we had to do. We talk a lot of shit. We would push one another. You know, you go out and Pettit go out and throw a shutout. Then, you know, then Coney would be up and he'd have a great game. I'm like, well, I can't be the GOAT. So I'd go out there. So it was good for all of us on that staff because we always one up to one another and you just tried to keep the ball rolling. And with that, you build confidence. And then, you know, but regardless, you're not going to be successful every time. You're going to have some losses in there. But to me, it was, you know, that's the kind of staff that you want. You want guys that are in it to win it. They're there. You know, there's no animosity towards one another. We're all pulling for one another, regardless if you like them or not. We're still pulling for them because you want that. You want that game within a game because the game's hard enough as it is. So when you're going out there competing, you're playing against, you know, Cleveland, who had an unbelievable, you know, lineup. You know, I think they scored over 1,000 runs that year. And, you know, we're going in there and we're spanking the hell out of everybody. So to me, it was, you know, that's the way to do it. When you have that unity as a starting rotation, you know, it just becomes contagious and you want to do that and you don't want to be the GOAT. So we started betting, all right, if you lose, you're buying dinner for everybody, blah, blah, blah. So that's kind of what you want to do. And you don't want to spend your money. You want to spend it on beer, not food.
I feel like, you want to outdo each other, but you're still rooting for each other. You know what I mean? Because once you get a little complacent and then it's like, oh, then like no one cares. And that's where you all fall apart. But with you guys like talking shit, like, oh, I'm going to pitch better than you, it's kind of like ups your game every time.
Right. And then if you can call it the day before you go out there, then you got really good bragging rights. But, you know, I've been on teams with guys, your teammates are rooting against you. You know, and that really sucks because they want your job or they want, and that does happen, you know, in sports. There's a lot of haters out there that just, you know, they want your job, you know, they want you to do bad. And that just, it just doesn't sit well. And then that's where you see a lot of fights going on behind the scenes. You guys don't see it, but we, you know, we have to live it and we got to try to get everybody on board. And to me, there's no place in the clubhouse for a hater. And once you recognize them, you just you let them, you warn them, and then once the warning, if they don't stop, then you open a can of whoop ass. You know, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. All right, take a quick break here in between. Boomer Wells, talk to you about Felix Gray. 5 years ago, Felix Gray realized our eyes, they just were not meant to look at screens all day. And they designed glasses to make daily screen time more comfortable and the workday more productive. So now more than ever, Americans, we're spending more time on computers, phones, tablets, gaming, and so many other sources of blue light. Blue light, very bad. Very bad, just like Brett Gardner. Felix Gray glasses, they are not like other blue light glasses. They filter 15 times more blue light that can make screen time tough on eyes and disruptive to sleep. Non-prescriptive and prescription available. Check them out now, felixgrayglasses.com/porch, felixgrayglasses.com/porch. And I mean, we all have, I feel like, different Felix Gray
I feel like I have the sunglasses along with the prescription glasses as well. You have as well. You have as well. Marty and Marty and Tommy.
We've said, you know, as you could tell, we don't compliment Hubs much, as you could tell.
Yeah, it takes so much to make them.
Felix Gray got it done.
Hey, Hubs. It makes me so it's so hard to make me look better, and none of you like me, and it's so hard to compliment me, and you guys compliment me with Felix Gray. Oh,
cry.
So you can feel your screen time, or if you're not sure if blue light glasses are right for you, start with the best in blue light. Try Felix Gray. They've got a 30-day money-back guarantee. There's nothing you have to lose except maybe eye strain. And Felix Gray, I mean, there's so many symptoms that come from blue light, whether it just make you sore, tired, burning, itchy eyes, headaches, migraines, a sore neck, back and shoulder fatigue. You don't want any of that. So right now,
the clear ones are fire.
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 And you don't know they're actually doing a lot for you until, like, you just realize, like, wait, like, I was just looking at a screen and it didn't hurt my eyes.
When you go to sleep, you're like, your eyes aren't fucking killing you.
It's really, really nice. Get yourself a pair of glasses from Felix Gray, made for the 21st century, designed for modern, hardworking eyes like yourself. You have nothing to lose except maybe eye strain. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/porch for the best blue light glasses on the market. That's Felix, F-E-L-I-X-G-R-A-Y, glasses.com/porch. Free shipping, free returns, free exchanges. FelixGrayGlasses.com/porch. And now back to Boomer David Wells.
We always ask people, players who were on that 98 team, about George and your relationship with George. Is there a story that sticks out to you about your relationship with George Steinbrenner?
Well, it started off, you know, when I signed over there, I met him. It was great. But, you know, to me, it started going a little south. And George was a hard-nosed guy. He was tough, you know, to be around. A lot of the people, like, you would hear the walkie-talkies go off when he pulled into the parking lot. The eagle has landed. And then people were scattering. And, you hear the stories until you witness it. And then you're like, okay. But he was always, you know, like, in-your-face kind of guy. But that's just who George was. He's the boss. He signs the checks. He wants winners. And that's what you had to do. And I had an altercation with them, interleague game and against Montreal. Pedro was pitching with Montreal, and Darren Fletcher hit a home run off me to right field, barely went over. And a fan actually interfered, like the Jeffrey Mayer in 96. And so I think I ended up pitching 7 or 8 innings that game. And I think it was a 2 or 3 run homer. So we're 3-0. You know, Pedro obviously was dealing as well. And so I walk in and I see George talking to our clubhouse guy. And I'm like, hey, George, I said, you got to do something with that fence out there. I said, it worked for you in 96 and it worked against us today. You got to put a higher fence so people can't interfere. And then he popped off. He said something derogatory and it didn't sit well with me. So I told him to fuck off. And, you know, it got into one of those bad. And then he got up in my face and I said, listen, I'm going to go get ice on my shoulder, on my elbow, on my back. And if you're out here when I'm still here, I said, I will take the ice off and whoop your ass. And that's basically what I told him. And he's like, I'm not afraid of you. I go, we'll find out. So sure enough, I go do that and I come out and there he is. And I start ripping that ice off and I chase his ass out the clubhouse. And I was MFing him. Cause I was pissed off. If you don't like the way I'm pitching, why don't you trade me? He goes, I tried to and nobody wants you. I'm like, well, that pissed me off. That set me into another level. So fast forward a couple of days later, I'm walking in during the game and outside of Joe Torre's office was a phone. He had a phone out there and the phone was ringing. So I picked it up and I go, Yankee Stadium, second base. He goes, who is this? I go, you called me. Who is this? And I go, and I knew it was George. And I just said, hey, George, this is Boomer. I said, hey, listen, I want to apologize for the other day. I said, I was out of line. That should have never happened. And he goes, you wait right there. And he came down. And we went into Joe's office and we hashed it out. He gave me a big old hug, kiss on the cheek. He goes, you're my guy. And ever since then, we were, you know, peas and carrots as Forrest Gump would say. So to me, it was great. I had a great relationship with George, but I could see how I could see how he was towards people, but he just pushed to the limit because he wanted the best out of you. And that's the only way I can put it. And, you know, and he trusted his staff, but they would squabble. Him and Joe would go at it. But, you know, to me, it was, he just wanted to challenge you and see what you're made of. And if you didn't meet those expectations, goodbye.
That is an incredible story.
It was nuts. Yeah, it was
nuts. We've asked a lot of different Yankees, like, stories about Steinbrenner. Nobody's been like, yeah, I threatened to kick his ass one time.
Well, you pissed me off. We're going to go toe-to-toe. Yeah. It didn't matter. But that was just me. I didn't give a shit. I didn't talk. You know, I'm a grown man. Speak to me, you know, with respect. I mean, I'm out here. I'm doing my best. I'm putting 100% every 5 days, you know, and then I'm on the bench the other 4 days rooting for my team, giving another 100%. So, you know, to me, I'm a cheerleader and then I'm an athlete. And then don't talk down and look down on me because of that. I mean, I'm doing my job. And if I'm not doing my job, then either you send me down or you trade me. But don't talk down to me like that I don't count. And I don't think that applies in any job description whatsoever. Always treat people with respect until they disrespect you. Then that's your problem. Then you deal with it in your own ways. But that's just George was. But to me, it's something with him. He was a warrior as an owner, but he was a crazy son of a bitch, and he was my crazy son of a bitch, and I loved him for it.
Wow. When you came over, like you said, in 97, we know you're a big Babe Ruth fan. There's a story that you asked for Babe Ruth's number to wear number 3. Is that true? And did you actually expect them to unretire it, or was it kind of like a half serious ask?
You know, it was a joke, because obviously I grew up a Babe Ruth fan, and I did all my reports and everything as a kid. Babe Ruth, I just idolized him just for what he did for the game. And plus, I was a Yankee fan. And, you know, to have that, I just threw it out there. I knew it wasn't going to happen, but I threw it out there. And mouths dropped in that room. They're like, are you kidding me? I'm like, well, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask. What's the worst thing they could say? No, right?
Yeah.
So I did that. But Charlie Hayes, he gave me 33. We traded numbers. Actually, he took Wade Boggs's number because Boggs left, and then so he took 12 and I took 33, which was great. And I just said, you know what, now I'm Babe Ruth twice, so I'm twice the personality as Babe Ruth, but not twice the player. Just the personality wise.
You mentioned how during that George Steinbrenner story, that incredible story, how he was like, I tried to trade you but I couldn't. You were traded a few times in your career. Talk about, because recently the Yankees just made a few trades, and I've just been wondering about, I don't know exactly if you were traded mid-season ever, maybe, but what is it like just being traded as a player, and like you got to pick up your life and go somewhere else? Like that whole conception is crazy to me.
Well, when I was with the Tigers in 95, I got traded at the All-Star break for Mark Lewis. I went to Cincinnati. And, you know, it's just tough because when you're there, you got to get up, you got to pack all your stuff. So you hire a couple of the clubhouse kids, bring all the boxes, and then they ship it to you. And then you get on the plane that day or the next day, and you fly to that city. The other team puts you up in a hotel for a week while you find a place to live, you know, in that city. And that, you know, that's the sucky part of it. But, you know, it's life, it's reality. Yeah, but the bottom line is, you know, none of the expense comes out of your pocket. Either they got to pay for a week and do that until you find your apartment, and then you pay for it. But, you know, that's, you know, if your family's traveling with you, that sucks.
Right.
You know, but unfortunately it was during the summer. So, you know, I was divorced. So my kids, you know, my kid was with his mom. So it was easier transition for me. But, you know, to me, it sucks, and you don't ever want to be traded. Because some people feel demoralized, some people feel relieved, some people want it, some people don't. I didn't want it, obviously, but you know, that's just the game. Yep. You know, if somebody in the organization doesn't like you, you're going to go. And I felt that was George liked me, but Joe didn't. You know, and even in Toronto, when I was in Toronto. I Cito Gaston, I couldn't stand as a manager. He wasn't fair, you know, kind of like Joe. I didn't think he was fair to the pitchers. But I love Cito to death. Cito and I are good friends. Joe Torre and I are friends now. I mean, a lot of stories probably get misconstrued. And like, usually when I go on an interview, we do this. Somebody's listening to it. So in the post the next day, Wells rips Joe Torre. No, it's not the case. Joe and I are friends. I got over the hump. You know, it is what it is. That was a long time ago. I respect Joe. You know, I he's got a great family. He's offered to help when I was coaching in high school. If you ever want me to come talk to your kids, blah, blah, blah. But I just tell the stories of the past, but they make it sound like I'm still angry. And I don't have a bad bone in my body towards Joe, towards Cito, or anybody else. It's, you know, life goes on, but the stories are great and nobody gets these stories. So, but when some schmuck is listening to your show and decides to put it in the post or whatever, then it rehashes and then people get pissed off. It's like with Roger Clemens and I, when I got traded for him in 99, a lot of stuff went on. I never said anything bad, but the media ran with it. And then all of a sudden Roger and I are butting heads, and, you know, and for, I didn't cause it. He didn't cause it. He's just reacting to what the media said. So, and I was just with Roger a few times over the last couple of months. Roger's great. He's one of the funniest son of bitches I've ever met in my life. That dude, you want stories, you get him on your show. He's got stories up the wazoo, and he should be a comedian too. He's pretty funny.
Really?
Hey, yeah. Give him our number. We'll take him on anytime.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
You're obviously a very good major league pitcher. Getting up to that point, you got to assume you're dominating high school, little league. I read a couple stories where in little league, you used to get paid from your mom's friends, where you would get a dollar for every strikeout, $5.
I bartered with the Hells Angels. That was me, because we didn't have money. So for every strikeout, I think I got 25 cents for every strikeout. And I had probably 10, 12 HAs on the payroll, which was great, because they would come to the games. And then for every win, I'd get a dollar or $5 for every win that I would get. So I was hustling, man. I needed money as a kid. Needed to get my boogie board or wetsuit, whatever it was, surfboard. But to me, that was just a kid growing up on the streets, hustling, man. You can hustle in San Diego, but it's like you can hustle in New York, Chicago, anywhere.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then is it true in high school you used to intentionally walk the bases loaded just to strike out the sod?
I did it once, and it's funny because my center fielder, Dave Camara, you know, probably the best athlete ever come out of San Diego. This dude was a stud, and, you know, and him and I growing up, you know, as kids, I mean, I met him when we went into Little League and all that stuff, but the dude was just an unbelievable, outfield, five-tool player. And so I remember one day I just, you know, I was bored and I said, Dave, I just turned around and I just went like that, and he's just shaking his head. And I walked the first three guys and then struck out the next three on like nine pitches. It was great. That's when you're bored and you're dominant like that. I mean, you're cocky, but, you know, I didn't understand cockiness back then. I was just arrogant, but cocky, I don't know. I just, if you could back it up, do it. And so I did that one time. I didn't do it all the time. I think that was the only time I did it, just to prove a point, and everyone thought I was nuts.
Yeah, I can understand why they thought you were nuts. I should have met you in college. I would have told my coach, like, I didn't drink after 1 year. I batted 240. You would have been a great influence for me.
No, I don't know. I think I would have been a bad influence. The stories that I have, it's like, I always tell them, do not do what I did. Don't follow me, because it doesn't work for everybody. It works for some, if that's the case, but it doesn't work for anything. And then there could be repercussions after that. You could become a nasty alcoholic or whatever. So I don't condone any of that. It only worked for me. So just putting it out there in case somebody wants to, you know, say, hey, you told my kid to do this. No, I'm telling your kid not to do that. Cover your tracks, man, right? Cover your tracks.
Yeah. You've been so gracious with your time. Just a few real quick questions before we wrap up here.
Fire away.
One. If you could steal one pitch from any pitcher in your life that you've seen, what pitch would you want from that guy?
I would probably want Jamie Moyer's changeup. He had the best changeup ever. And in the history of baseball. I mean, he had such a nasty changeup. You know, it's, but you know, Gagne had one too, but he threw 100 and threw it, what, 68, but you know, that's a big dip. But Jamie Moyer had an unbelievable changeup. I would like to steal that pitch from him.
I love that answer.
But it wasn't that great.
I love that answer because I feel like most people would be like, oh, I want someone's 100-mile-an-hour fastball, whatever. You just want Jamie. I love that. That's such a perfect pitcher answer there. Yeah. Your favorite guy to drink with, I assume it's Coney, right?
That's right. Coney was my man. Scumbags.
And you are not a fan of umpires. I believe you went on Starting Nine, another Barstool podcast, and you said that if you could change one unwritten, you'd just be able to fight umpires. If it were up to you as a pitcher, would you embrace an electronic strike zone, or do you still like the human era of umpires?
I don't mind the human era, but my thing is with umpires, when I threw strikes, so I was a strike machine.
Yeah.
But when you start changing my strike zone in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, in pitches I was getting, that's where I have a problem with that. And then they're so quick to judge that you, if you say something, and obviously 60 feet, 6 inches, you know, is a far away. If you yell something out, they do that. But for some reason, I just think umpires had it out for pitchers if you didn't do that. So, you know, to me, a lot of them were, and hey, bad calls are bad calls, but you own up to it. Richie, I'm never wrong, Garcia. You got to be kidding me. That guy was the worst, you know, when it came to that, because he would never admit when he's wrong. And I give my tip, my cap to Jim Joyce. And I love Jim Joyce. He was a great umpire, a good dude. He made that mistake with Galarraga on his perfect game.
Yep.
And he was in tears the next day. And you saw the emotion on his face. But there's a lot of umpires just, you know, they just, you can't talk to them. And then they have attitude. And then they have the authority to throw you out of the game. We should have the authority to throw them out of the game when they're boneheads. So to me, that's why I didn't like umpires. And I didn't hate them all. There was a lot of good umpires out there,
yeah,
you know, and very deserving and Hall of Fame calibers. But there was a lot of them that just were just straight up dickheads.
Yeah, 100%. As we close out here, you have Tiza. Which sounds awesome. Tell us a little bit about
right that. There, a little teaser. As you can see right there. So my buddy Brent Agin, Dr. Brent Agin, he came up with this product a few years back. And I was just like, wow, this is, because they had the grinds and all that stuff. But the grinds, you tried that and it would, the pouch would break, you know. And I remember back doing Skull Copenhagen, doing all that kind of stuff. And man, did it buzz you up. But I didn't like that buzz. I hated that buzz. I like the alcohol buzz better. But to me, it was, you know, he brought this out and he's like, hey, Dave, will you help me out with this? And I'm like, sure, I'd love to. So I go to the coaches conventions. I've been to three of them now for them. And I think it's just a great way to get people to dip, because my oldest son dipped, and, you know, and it's just, it could lead. I've seen a lot of guys dip that got cancer in their mouth. And, you know, obviously you try to, you know, you promote non-tobacco products to these guys. A lot of guys don't listen. Jim McMahon, love him to death. I tried to get him on Tiza for years and he just refuses, because he's a dipper. And a lot of guys do that. But Brent came out with this great product, all different flavors. And to me, so, you know, I took, when I was coaching high school in San Diego, I'd give it to the guys on, instead of them dipping, I'd give them these pouches. But I said, if I see a pouch on the ground, that's 20 pulls you got to run, guys. And all the kids loved it. So you're promoting non-tobacco products. So Brent came out with a great product. Hopefully they get it into baseball. We're trying to get into MLB right now.
Yep.
I think it's a great supplement. And your wife will love you because she can kiss you without, you know, it's like people who smoke.
That's important. That's very important there. Very important.
Yeah. And so, but Brent came up with a great product. And I think he has Mike Allstott as well from the NFL. We're just trying to get everybody, get the awareness out there from what tobacco can do. And you've seen all the horror stories, you see these commercials, what's going on. But if you're dipping, and people who dip, if they got to have something in there, that's what it is. And sometimes it's a laxative for guys after a dip, they go right to the bathroom, clean out the bowels and all that stuff. But you know, the Tiza is great. There's different flavors and the energy that it gives you. I golf 3-4 times a week and I pop those suckers in. And, you know, it does give you energy. It's a great product. So kudos to Brent.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for a limited time, the first 100 people to buy $50 or more on teaser.com get a free signed teaser hat when you use code Wells. So that's a great opportunity there. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I just signed a bunch of hats for him last week, and I think he has the pucks that I signed a bunch of those. And when I have my my charity golf outing in San Diego, so people want to go, they can go to perfect33foundation.org. You can sign up. Usually what I do is I bring in a bunch of celebrities, but now I'm trying to bring in more Navy SEALs because every penny I raise goes for our team guys in military for traumatic brain injuries. So we try to take care of these guys and, you know, get them, you know, back out there in society, better father, husband, you know, and just, you know, I think it's a great, you know, thing that our organization's doing, because a lot of these guys, you know, they go right to the bottom. And yeah, to me, the more people I can advocate and the more people I can help, you know, is a lot. It goes a long way with these guys. So I'm getting a lot of these team guys as celebrities. That's so, which awesome. Is great. And a lot of these dudes can, you know, retired guys and active guys, you know, a lot of these guys love it. They come out there and I always just tell them how you killed Bin Laden. Tell them the story of whatever group you were. They just tell me to shut up. You're a bonehead. But, you know, Jimmy Mack has been my guy. You know, I get all the guy, Gary Templeton, all the San Diego guys, we get there. Scotty Erickson's been there every year, but we just have a great time. We raise a bunch of money for, you know, for these treatments for these guys. So it's a win-win. So go to perfect33foundation.org. If you want to go to San Diego and get a 3-day event, sign up.
Love to hear. It's a great foundation. Love what you've been doing for first responders. It's genuinely so awesome. Boomer, this was fantastic and honestly like a bucket list to talk to you. Very, very cool. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it, man.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime, guys. I'm bored. I got nothing to do. It's just, you know, you're down here in Florida. It's 1,000,000 degrees. I'm ready to get the hell out. I need to go to Michigan. Actually, I'm going up to Michigan here soon. Kurt Gibson, he has his foundation for Parkinson's, you know, since Kurt was diagnosed with Parkinson's, you know, a few years back. So we do his event up there and he does a great job with his foundation. So we get to go up and golf, hang out and go up to him. And I have a ranch we've had for about 27 years. So we go up there and hunt. So we're going to take the boys up there and golf and just get after it.
Love it. That sounds
one time.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Is that an invite for us? Or
that's what happens when you're retired and bored. You get to do a lot of things. All I want to do is hunt. I'm a big hunter. You get tired of killing pigs down here, but you want to go for the big stuff. So I got my whole year lined up with good hunts.
I love to hear it, man. Love to hear it. Sounds like you're doing great. Great talking to you, man. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Can't wait. Thank you, guys. Appreciate
later,
you.
Later, man. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, David.
Yep. All right. Want to thank David Wells again for coming on the show. Awesome interview. I mean, the fact that he literally tried to fight George Steinbrenner is unbelievable.
That's probably the best story I've ever been told by a player on the podcast.
That was so cool.
You thought it was going to end at one point? He goes, no. We, like, called it up and we just tried to fight afterwards.
All of our faces, our jaws dropped when he was like, wait, you fought Steinbrenner?
Because we were expecting, like, oh, yeah, George, you know, he was the man. Like, you know, we had such a good
everyone
relationship.
Everyone like, the boss, yeah, he's
right,
great.
Right. He's just like, no, I tried to fucking
we talked to Larry. We talked to that guy, I'm blanking on his name, the man who owned the restaurant.
Charlie.
Wins, White, someone. Yeah. Wins. I believe his name was W. It was Wins of W. Wants. Charlie Wants. They were like, the boss, George. Boomer's like, and Boomer did eventually, after that, he said it helped the relationship, but he was like, yeah, I tried to beat the shit out of that guy.
He's, well, he's just a guy where, like, it doesn't matter if you're the president of the United States, it doesn't matter who you are, if you just say something disrespectful to him,
kill you.
He's going to come after you.
Yeah.
And I like that about him.
And the fact that, for me, even past that, Torrey had to split him and Cone up in the starting rotation because
so
they became such a drinking tandem that they were like, yeah, we're so good when we drink together, but like we can't drink back to back nights. We're gonna cripple our bodies and like die. And they were like, yeah, imagine that happening like now. Imagine like I'm trying to even like JMO and Cole. They were
that's
like,
why it was the best back then. No one cared.
Yeah, there's no social media.
No one was like taking pictures of him at the bar before he was about to play.
And they even said like their rotation in 98 would be like, just let's one up each other.
Yeah.
Just one up each other.
And pitching.
Yeah, seriously.
And that's how they won the 98 World Series. And that's how they were one of the greatest teams of all time. I hope you guys enjoyed that from David Wells. It was fantastic. He was the best.
He, talked to us.
I got to take a shit so bad. I'm just throwing that out there. I have to shit so bad.
Cool.
We literally have a minute left.
Yeah, just hang on, man. We have like literally 30 seconds. I just want everyone to know. Wells literally was just telling his stories after the podcast.
After.
We're like, oh, we should probably just put this back in the pocket. He's like, yo, you have our number? We don't have his number. Someone has his number, but he's like, you have my number? Just call me anytime. We're like, okay, we'll figure that out somehow. But Dave Wells was fantastic. Appreciate you guys listening. We'll get the Mariners coming up here. You hear us back here on Sunday night, Monday, whatever it is. And that's the Short Porch. Go Italians. Go buy our shirt, the Italian Stallions. Stored at MarshallSports.com. That's the podcast. We'll see you back here. Later.
Well, this is John Sterling. You've been listening to Short Porch, byproduct of Barstool Sports.